Welcome back, everyone. We can move on to Dogfish. We actually have a couple things to go through here, kind of very important things. So we'll just kick it over to Jason Didden. Thank you for coming up from Dover. I'm sure it was an enjoyable ride. And we have him actually give us the presentation in person. Take it away, Jason.
Thank you. So we're looking at 26 and 27 specifications and some potential modifications to the accountability measures for this fishery. A few abbreviations for folks who happen upon this presentation online, but I will reference the council's PSTAR, and I'm just getting a little feedback here. Hopefully that takes... Okay, there we go. The Mid-Atlantic Council's PSTAR risk policy basically looks for a particular probability of overfishing or not overfishing. If the stock is way above its target biomass, the highest it goes is, I think, 49%, and then it slides down to requiring kind of lower and lower chances of overfishing at lower stock sizes. Going to approach things from kind of two segments. First, the specifications. That's alternative set 6 in the document, and then the other framework alternatives. In terms of the specifications, going to go through a bit of background, then look at what the Mid-Atlantic SSC recommended for any acceptable biological catch, ABC, and then the Mid-Atlantic's adopted specifications. So first, where are we right now in 2025? The bottom two circled rows are kind of the key things here. One is over 40% of the catch target is set aside for discards, and that results in a commercial quota of about 9.3 million pounds currently in 2025. Where did that come from? We have a quantitative assessment for this that found that it was at its target in 2022, but lower annual productivity than our perspective in, say, 10 years ago. Why is that? It's mostly due to seeing fewer of the biggest females. Not that there are no big female pup producers out there, but fewer there than there were in the past. And we see that size decline across a number of different data sources, whether it's in the catch data, the trawl survey data. It's across a number of different data sources. So not just one data source showing that. And we're still in just the first round of projections after what's the first management track, after the research track assessment. And that was a new model. So from the last year of data and the management track was 2022, we're projecting after that. And we haven't had another assessment since then. So, I mean, with any new assessment, we're in the first round of projections. I think because of uncertainty in a number of aspects of the assessment, what's growth like in this stock? We don't have, we've been doing more research into aging them, but with issues with aging them, that transfers into uncertainty about growth, that transfers to uncertainty about productivity. So again, we think it's less productive, but we'll see what happens the next couple assessments. So 2022 was the last year of data that's kind of formally in the assessment. We did get some data updates. That's not an assessment. But we do have a few data kind of points to kind of inform setting specifications. We also have updated projections. Neither one of those are a new assessment. The updated projections just take the more recent catch data in terms of what we thought was going to happen in the projections originally, add that catch data in, but it's not like running a new assessment. We thought we were going to get the next assessment in 2027. All of the assessment schedules are a bit uncertain right now. Just flagging one of those data updates. This is Science Center Spring Trawl Survey, an index of mature females. The orange circled point was the last one that was in the assessment, 2022. So we have two data points after that, 24 and 25 there. And went up a little bit, down a little bit. Again, these are not have not been integrated into an assessment yet. They're just the raw data from the survey. In terms of fishery performance, you know, things were kept very low in the 2000s when we was in a rebuilding plan. The stock appeared to be recovering. Quotas increased in you know, the early 2010s, the or late 2000s, early 2010s, and the landings kept up with it for a bit, but then since 2012 have been trailing off. Price has been relatively stable the last few years. I think the nominal price, this is inflation adjusted at a constant $2024. The nominal price has been very consistent the last few years, but a slight erosion in real prices due to inflation. Maybe just have you advance it. I think we're good now. And again, there's more information on kind of the fishery background, area of landings in the fishery information document in your briefing materials, but just a general sense of where recent landings have occurred. You can see kind of the highest percent kind of chunks of landings coming from around Cape Cod and then off of Delaware Bay and then off of Virginia Beach, kind of the most dense landings. Next. So this is the last fishing year. It's a May 1 start. Last fishing year in the orange yellow there. Current fishing year, and these are all preliminary. We tend to have some state landings that can feed in a bit slow here, but the current fishing year is in the royal blue there. So pretty similar. August was a bit slower, August was a bit slower. We're basically about like 1 week behind in landings compared to the previous fishing year. Next. So we take the fishery fishery information document, have a meeting of our advisory panel saying, okay, here's some general background to kind of prime the pump. What's your perspective on what's going on with this fishery, whether it's context of landings trends for SSC or just regulatory appropriateness for the council? So that document is in your briefing materials, just hitting a few kind of highlights from that. They continue to note that demand is relatively low for this fish, but stable, ongoing marketing challenges. There are processing and shipping challenges. Most of the fish are processed in New Bedford. They're shipped from all the ports to basically one processor. And there's also most of the fish once processed are exported. So there's a variety of both domestic processing and then where the fish go in terms of shipping challenges. Weather is always a constraint in the winter. The Virginia fishery occurs in the winter. There's always a couple of lost weeks due to the weather in Virginia. Next. And our AP continues to kind of want to highlight that roller coaster style management in this fishery is just going to uproot things, destroy the fishery through shoreside gentrification if it's not stable, and that losing that last processor will really end the fishery. They note that regulatory restrictions limit production. There is a trip limit that most fishery participants support it, but it does limit production compared to what could occur. They continue to flag that they perceive spiny dogfish abundance very differently than the assessment. They see kind of seasonal variability, but not huge changes in overall abundance. They flag that they think the discard numbers that are generated seem unreasonably high. We did go and do some, when you look at the majority of the commercial discards in the trawl fishery, when you break it down in terms of how much discards It means per trip. It's just a couple thousand pounds per trip for trawl spiny dogfish discards, which, given my experience in small mesh fisheries, at least doesn't seem totally unreasonable. But the total is high, but when you break it down to a per trip level, the discards don't seem unreasonable based on the analysis we did this year, based on that input. We also did get some concern that we'll talk a little bit later about the council has suspended its risk policy, so it allows a bit higher risk of overfishing than normally would occur, and some concern about doing that, given spiny dogfish has a generally kind of vulnerable life history. Next. Our advisory panel also gave some recommendations on specific alternatives that was considered by the committee and the Mid-Atlantic. It's in the advisory panel report, and if folks want to dive into that later, we can do that. Next. Okay, so our SSC sets the ABCs, the acceptable biological catch, and the council asked its SSC essentially for three ABCs. One, just the basic Mid-Atlantic risk policy that builds in a bit of buffering to achieve a lower than 50% chance of overfishing. And that is going to vary year by year as the stock size varies year by year. A constant ABC that's pretty close to an average of that. And then also, what if you set the ABC right up to the OFL, right up to the overfishing limit? So the SSC did that. They provided those numbers, but flagged that a lot of concern about setting the ABC right up to the overfishing limit for this fishery, that a number of simulation studies that had been done when the council was evaluating its risk policy suggested that doing that will eventually lead to lower long-term catches. And over the long term, the overall risk, you think it's 50%, but may really exceed that, especially given we're getting kind of far out from the last assessment's terminal year of 2022. Next. They did say, you know, we understand the council's concerns about this fishery. Another option is to just go with maintaining for future years ABC at the OFL for 2025. So it'd be a little bit of buffer. And the SSC communicated to the council that they want to have some ongoing discussions to make sure you know, the council understands the SSC's perspective of the additional uncertainty that's kind of being created as we are kind of setting specifications far out from an assessment's terminal year. Next. And go one more. Okay. So these are the resulting ABCs, and the staff simplified, there's recommended simplifying in the document to just look at the average P star. The council has kind of indicated it would prefer stability in this fishery. So the average P star number is there, the 7,332 metric tons. The council's risk policy would suggest that that ABC would provide a 46% chance of overfishing. The OFL, by definition, is a 50-50 chance of overfishing. And last year's the current year, 2025 OFL, is about in between those. So it's going to be about a 48% chance of overfishing. So that's that little bit of buffer that the SSC was recommending considering if the council wanted to push beyond its standard risk policy. Next. So from the SSC, the monitoring committee takes that information, provides recommendations on measures needed to ensure that specifications will not be exceeded. That's the charge in the regulations to the monitoring committee. Generally focuses on setting enough catch aside for Canada. Wreck landings are very small. Discards is a bigger component of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Then that goes to the joint committee. Joint committee made recommendations to the councils. The Mid-Atlantic Council took action in October. you all are taking action today. And then there's also a placeholder. Since this is a framework action, the two councils have to agree for submission to NIMP. So there's a placeholder for the mid-December meeting in case there's the mid needs to consider any differences that if you all recommend adopt something different. Next. Okay, so what did the mid recommend? Mid recommended constant 26 to 27 specifications with those ABCs same as the 2025 OFL. Recommended setting aside slightly more discards versus 2025, and that just drops the commercial quota a little bit. This is somewhat less of a set aside than the discards that were recommended by the committee. The committee's recommendation kind of blended two discards approaches, a recent average and a ratio approach used by the assessment that went to the mid, and the mid recommended going with the assessment ratio approach, which results in a slightly smaller set aside for discards than the blended approach, but a little bit more than current. Next. So this is how those would work out for 26 and 27. Again, that discard set aside is just a little bit more than the current year, which reduces the commercial quota. Again, there's small amounts taken for Canadian landings and recreational landings. That the key kind of set aside is that discard number. Next. So that's a quick overview of, and go back to the, maybe go back to that table. So that's an overview of kind of how the mid ended up at the specifications recommendation, and I'll turn it over back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Any questions on the presentation for the specs part of the presentation? Terry Alexander.
Sorry, I forgot to use the webinar. Jason, those numbers for discard seem really, really high. And I understand it's only 2,000 pounds for a trip. But, we're at like 5,000 trips, 6,000 trips in New England for groundfish now, when we were like 60-something thousand in 2010. So those numbers seem really high, especially seeing how we don't see a dogfish for 5 months, 6 months of the year, So I don't know how many of those landings, those discard landings are coming out of New England, but they just seem high to me.
And I do have, can I advance it to a backup slide here? Yeah, so this was it broken down by large and small mesh trawl, Gulf of Maine, Southern New England, and Mid-Atlantic in terms of the numbers of trips and the average discarded per trip. So again, they range from a few hundred to a couple thousand, depending on the gear size and in the area. And I talked to a few trawl fishermen. These didn't jump out to them as super unreasonable. So we tried to kind of at least see if it seemed like, something that was blatantly unreasonable, but, it didn't jump out that these weren't potentially feasible. And again, it's driven by, even those amounts are relatively low, there's enough trips that it adds up.
Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Jason. I know the recreational results in a small amount that's being landed, but were these checked for the PSEs and adjusted accordingly if the PSEs exceeded 50%? I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to look whether, where we fell when it comes to that.
I think the recreational estimates are just taken as they are. There's no discounting of them based on PSEs. The discard numbers are, I mean, so the landings are pretty small. I wouldn't be surprised if those PSEs are high. I'm not, again, we could do an MRIP query on the fly. I don't remember offhand what the PSEs are on the discards.
I would just encourage you to look at that. I mean, we're trying to split the hairs here to as a result of the 50%, and now we're going and changing that. So if that opportunity exists, if I understand it properly, the PSCs exceed 50%, then the data is not to be used. Is that correct?
It's not my understanding, but I don't think the discards are going to I'm pretty sure the recreational discard estimates are not going to have PSEs that high.
All right, thank you.
Further questions from the council? Questions on the presentation from the public in the room? I see Attorney Whiteside online. Question?
Yes, thank you. Just a comment on the discard. It's being used as 50% dead discard for trawl. I brought this up at the Mid-Atlantic meeting that John Mandelman's 2006 study found 29% discard. Roger Rulofson's 2007 study found 17.5% discard. And since trawl gear makes up 2/3 or more of dead discards, having trawl dead discard rate 20% higher for nearly 20 years has resulted in millions of pounds of live discards counted as dead. That was it on the discard portion. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Back to the council. Any further questions? I will go to a motion from Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thank you. So Nick Meserve is our vice chair on the joint committee, and much like Mr. Sikowski was channeling his older, handsomer colleague, Mitch, I'm going to try to channel my younger, smarter colleague, Nick, with providing the committee motions and various motions that need to go through. So I would highly suggest, if you don't have it, grabbing the decision document. I think that's number 3. And I'm going to start with a specification motion, which, if you have that document open, is page 10. It's the alternative set 6. This is going to need a second, since the Mid-Atlantic Council had a slightly different approach than the joint committee offered up. So I would move to select as a preferred alternative an alternative set 6, considers 2026-2027 specifications. Alternative 6C, resuspend the council's risk policy and set 2026 and 2027 ABCs equal to 2025 OFL projected and implemented, but use the assessment ratio approach for discard set-asides. This is consistent with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's recommendations.
I have a second from John Pappalardo. Rationale, Melanie?
Yeah, aside from the consistency with the Mid-Atlantic, I would just add that this is based on the Mid-Atlantic's Science and Statistical Committee advice.
John, anything else? Okay. Questions, comments on the motion from the council? Jason?
I just looked up the PSEs on the rec discards. They're between like 15 and 20%, so relatively low as far as PSEs go.
Thank you for that. To the council? To the public? Back to the council. So I'm bringing back an oldie but a goodie. We're going to do a show of hands here. I know it's been a while, probably pre-COVID. So anyone in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. That includes you, Mr. Erstad, online, and we will get the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I got 16. Peter, did you raise? Oh, there you go. Is that a yes, Peter? Yes. Okay. So that motion will pass 17-0-0. On to the second part of the presentation.
Okay. So the other alternatives in this action. So we have a stock currently near target biomass. And right now we have 100% payback of any annual catch limit overages. That's likely to reduce the quotas from year to year. So the idea was to try to avoid disruption from accountability measure paybacks that really aren't necessary to keep the stock near its target. And we did have a 1.1 million payback in 2024 fishing year due to a 2023 overage. It turned out not to be binding. The fishery still stayed within that limit, but that if you just look at the X vessel prices, could have resulted in about $242,000 in foregone X vessel revenues. Again, that didn't occur because the quota even reduced wasn't binding, but we have had some ACL overages and paybacks. Next. Just as a thing to keep in note as we go through, that the commission has flagged a few times that there can be some potential disconnects between the federal approach and the commission. The commission has state paybacks, state or regional paybacks. There's a potential for that to result in double paybacks. They're kind of there aware of it. They, I think, will be considering some ways to mitigate that, ensure alignment, but it's going to have to be something that we kind of keep an eye on as we go. Next. Okay. So I'm going to run through several alternative sets and what the Mid-Atlantic adopted, and then also describe a couple scenarios of like what that could result in, and then kind of set it up for your discussion and consideration of motion. So set one just looks at, can some paybacks not be required or scaled down based on biomass? So at or above the target biomass, this is 1B, what the MID recommended. No paybacks would be required for ACL overages if you're above your target. If you're at or below 75% of the target, 100% paybacks would be required for the next applicable year. And then between there, you have essentially a sliding scale. So, if you're at 99% of biomass, you're only paying a small fraction of the overage, scaling down to 100% paybacks at 75%. This kind of is aligned to some approaches that the MID has used in some of its other fisheries that are more looking at when you have overages caused by recreational catch or discards, scaling from 100% from no paybacks above 100% to full paybacks at 50%. So given kind of the potential vulnerability of the spiny dogfish stock, this would scale to full paybacks earlier than some of those other plans in the MID where you have full paybacks at 75% of your target. Next. So this is just kind of what it looks like graphically. Imagine you're at A there. You're at 100% of your stock size. That corresponds then, or greater, you'd have zero payback for an ACL overage. And then if you're at the right, at B, you're down to 75% of your stock size target on the horizontal axis moving to the right. And at that point, you have 100% of any paybacks, and it just slides evenly between. So if you're at halfway, which is 87.5% of stock size target, that's when you get to the 50%. So you're just sliding along that scale. Next. As I mentioned, for the MID, for some of its species where it has similar measures in place for some sliding scales, it focuses that sliding scale applicability if it's based on recreational catch or commercial discards. Alternative set two with no action, just says treat all the catch sources at the same if you select no action. That's what the Mid-Atlantic did. And it's based on that 100 metric ton discard overage has the same probable stock effect as 100 metric tons landings overage. Yes, the discards are, whether it's rec or commercial, they're more imprecise, and they could be lower, but they also could be higher. So a dead fish is a dead fish here in terms of the expected impact on the stock. Next. Alternative set three is that if you're in a rebuilding plan, you always pay back ACL overages, even if you're working up and you're at 99% of biomass until you've fully rebuilt. So you've completed the rebuilding plan, you're always paying back all overages. Next. Alternative set four says, do you look at it year to year or do you take an average? The council went with using a three-year average. So you compare three-year average ACL to three-year average catch. And that's how you would determine if you have an overage or not. And then if it's combined with the sliding scale, which the council recommended, adopted, you would take just the most recent projected biomass as, you know, are you at 100% with no paybacks or 75% with full paybacks? So there's another option in there to essentially take an average of the biomasses, but the council decided to keep it simple, go with the most recent projected biomass. Next. Alternative set five would allow, and the council recommended for 26-27 to have closing would occur at 105% of the quota. And it's really designed to ensure kind of fair access across states. The fishery moves from the start of the fishing year. Usually it's pretty quiet. And in the summer, you get landings more in the northern states. Theoretically, if they exceeded their overage, the southern states would be cut off in federal waters before they'd harvested their quota. So this builds in a little bit of, normally we deal with buffers of lowering catch. So it's kind of like a buffer a bit above the quota to try to mitigate that of what happens if the northern region goes above a little bit, that the federal waters in the southern states later in the fishing year kind of don't get cut off early. Next. Okay. So what would this package look like? So the specs are about a 7,600 metric ton annual catch limit, ACL. So let's say in 1 year, catch comes in at 8,100 metric tons. That's 500 metric tons too high. And let's say it was 100 metric tons from landings and 400 metric tons for discards. Well, with the council's recommended approach, it wouldn't matter. 500 is 500 over. And let's say the year before was right at the ACL catch. So no overage, no underage in the year before. And then the year before that, because we're dealing with 3 year average, was 100 metric tons below its ACL. So you had 500 over, right on target, 100 under. If you look at average catch minus average ACL, that's 133 metric tons too much. So that's kind of the first thing would be, you know, our 3 year average result in an overage? Here it did, 133 metric tons. Next. So then, you know, kind of what does it look like under some of these different scenarios? Let's say scenario one, you're in rebuilding. Well, it doesn't matter what your biomass is. You're going to pay it all back. What if you're at 74% of your target biomass? That's under the 75. You're going to pay it all back. If you're at 101% of your target biomass, there's going to be no payback of that. Because again, if you're above 100% of your target in that most recent projection year for your biomass, you're not doing it. And if you were at 87.5% of your target biomass, you'd pay back half of it, 66.5 metric tons. So again, first you kind of do the averaging, figure out what your average overage is, and then depending on where your biomass is or if you're in rebuilding, you pay it back or not. Paybacks go against the ACL, then the other set-asides occur. So pretty much if you're getting a payback, it's going to reduce the quota in the next year that NIMS can implement it. Next. At the mid, the service expressed some concern about if landings and discards are just treated the same way. So to kind of tease out that, if the MIDS approach of treating everything equally wasn't in play. You know, if catch came in at 133 metric tons average over, but it's from discards and you're at 99% of the biomass, right? You're very close to the target. You're just paying back a little bit on that sliding scale. Works out to 5 metric tons. But if that catch overage, and again, if this is you weren't using the MIDS approach of treating all catch the same, but you're kind of treating landings differently, if catch comes in at 133 metric tons average over, but if it was from landings at 99% biomass, then you'd be paying it all back because if you weren't, if you were forcing yourself to always pay back landings overages. So at least kind of from my perspective, looking at this, you know, unless you thought that the discards were consistently biased high and in reality lower, there's no reason in terms of the scientific impact on the stock. Again, 133 metric tons of dead fish is dead fish, whether it's landings or discards. And that's why the MID went with just treating the catch sources the same for overage calculations. Next. So that's a quick overview of the Mid-Atlantic's adopted accountability measure modifications and kind of walking through what that would mean for a few different scenarios of a average overage and some different biomass levels. The stock right now is projected to be over 100%. I think it's maybe around 113% of the target in the last projection year. I have to double check that, but it's above 100%. So where we are right now, you wouldn't be having overage paybacks because we're over 100% of the target. Thanks.
A lot to chew on. looking around the table now, and I believe the RA had expressed some concerns at the Mid-Atlantic council meeting. Perhaps he can reiterate some of his concerns so you all can understand where the RA is sitting. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Yes, we had quite a robust discussion at the Mid-Atlantic Council. You know, I recognize that things had gone through the joint committee first, and I think, you know, we were reflecting back on this, and I think when you look at each of these alternative sets independently, a case can be made for the decisions that the committee made and the decisions that the Mid-Atlantic Council ultimately made. But I don't think that what we really did, or certainly the Mid-Atlantic Council didn't have the opportunity until kind of at the end, to think about how all of these options interact. And so as we started to think about how the implications of how these various alternatives interact, you know, I became increasingly concerned, and I've talked with staff as well. You know, we've become increasingly concerned that the combination that the Mid-Atlantic Council adopted really undermines the intent of the accountability measures requirement in the Magnuson Act. And, you know, trying to focus in on the most problematic aspects. Certainly the 3-year moving average is an aspect of this interaction. But it's saying that you can have an overage in landings, a known overage in your landings against the quota that you would not address the following year. But you're also going to allow 105% of the landings of the quota to be landed before you close the fishery. So if we're not going to require paybacks of landings when they're exceeding the quota, but we're not going to close the fishery to 105% of the quota, we're effectively setting the specs at 11. In the words of Nigel of Spinal Tap. So, you know, quotas aren't supposed to go to 11. They're supposed to go to the quota we set. The council just took action to set next year's specs with a 9.2 million pound quota. not a 9.6 million pound quota, a 9.2 million pound quota. So that's, I think, where we have, you know, concerns. And, excuse me, looking at, you know, the 105% came from black sea bass was the example. And it was to account for potential issues where states are, you know, the agency's managing the coastwide quota, but individual states are allocated through the commission plan. Some states have IFQ fisheries for black sea bass. And there was concern that if a state went over their quota to the point that we closed the coastwide quota, then other states, particularly those that have IFQ fisheries, could find themselves in a real bind where they don't have full access to their allocation. And so we agreed and implemented 105% buffer before we closed the fishery coastwide. But if you look at the black sea bass regs, any of that 105, any of that 5% overage gets taken off the top the following year. So those overages are accounted for as landings overages. And, you know, scaling and deciding whether things are, you know, whether the fishery is in a rebuilding plan or not, those all are taken into account for the non-landings based overages. So that's where we kind of are with this. And I think, you know, I mentioned this to a couple of people. I think the question I would ask is there's two things here. One is the landings-based overages, and the second is the 105% buffer. So if you don't adopt 105% buffer, then I think we're comfortable with the rest of the package. But if you do really want the 105% buffer to protect the northern states, the northern region, then we have a lot of concerns with the idea that we wouldn't address an overage of landings. And so let me stop there and see if there's questions. But that's kind of what our thinking has been since the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Penney. Ms. Griffin?
Yeah, I just wanted to help orient because there's a lot going on. So again, if you're looking at document 3, I believe Mr. Petney, please stop me if I'm wrong, but your concern is with the interaction of set 2 and set 5. Yeah, okay.
So further questions either for Mr. Petney or Jason? Megan Ware.
Thanks. Thanks for the example, Jason. That was super helpful. And thank you, Mike, for the comments. I had two questions on alternative set 1. I'm just looking to confirm that if we're at or above 100% of the biomass target, there's no maximum amount of overage forgiveness. So it could be a very large or very small overage. All of that is forgiven if you're above the biomass target.
Yeah, there's no scaling based on size of overage.
Okay. And then for alternative set 5, have we ever been in a situation where a state was blocked, I'll say, from accessing all of its quota because of landings hitting 100% of the ACL, or is this more of a hypothetical concern that folks have?
I don't think we've had federal waters closures in recent years. So I don't think that has happened. I know in one of the years of quotas versus closure, we were right up at the quota, but I don't think we've had closures of federal waters. The service may have that info. And then the other part of your question was, I thought there's another.
Nope, that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Petney.
Yeah, I mean, Jason's right. I think we've had a closure in the last at least few years. It's possible that, you know, we go back 10 years or more, we had some closures when the quotas were lower. But that was the same situation we had with black sea bass. We hadn't actually been in a circumstance where the coastwide quota closure impinged on a state, but there was just concern hypothetically that it could happen, which is true. And so that was sort of a preemptive change to you know, prevent those types of circumstances.
Jeff Smith, then Ted Platts.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and Jason, thanks. I'm going to just stay over here behind the obstructed view here. I appreciate the work the MID put into this, trying to build some flexibility into the accountability measures when we have healthier stocks. I support that general approach. The question I had, though, was a follow-up to Megan Ware's regarding the amount of the overage if you're on a rebuild stock. I know you said that it doesn't matter how big it is if it's rebuilt under the alternatives approved by the MID, but was there a discussion about trying to put some sort of cap on the amount of overage before you might have it kick in?
No. I mean, certainly on the commercial side, I was just chatting with Mike Simpkins earlier. I think there's more males in the discards. So if you did have a discard-driven overage that maybe is swinging, you know, a bit much, that's going to be less of an impact on the spawning stock biomass because it's males. So it's just another kind of little you know, relative to the scale size of the stock, let me pull up one. So this is total biomass for the stock, and it's a pet peeve of mine with some of the center graphs. So it looks like those numbers to the right where we are in 2022, I think, are like down near zero, but that baseline is 300,000 metric tons, not zero. So you're at like, 728,000 metric tons, 1.6 billion pounds of spiny dogfish estimated in 2022, and males over 400,000 metric tons. So if we get a couple thousand metric ton overage on males that is driven by a particularly high discard, it you wouldn't expect it to have a rapid impact on the stock. So if it did get to be something where we're having some larger overages repeatedly and there, we're in around 100%, I mean, I think the council could then evaluate that in the future if some kind of, maxed non-payback was appropriate. But I think given the overall, scale, and since a lot of those discards are going to be males anyway, it's not likely to be a critical stock issue in the short run.
Yeah, I appreciate that explanation. I guess I also share some of the concerns that the regional administrator had raised here. We have a fishery management system that we're operating under where we're supposed to have annual catch limits and accountability measures. We had a conversation in our previous discussion about taking a pass on accountability measures. We're looking at doing that again here. So I have some hesitation about simply saying if the stock's rebuilt, any overage is okay and we're not going to count it. So I'll see what comes up for a motion, but I am having some concern about this approach. Thanks.
Dr. Simpkins?
Yeah, just since I was quoted, I wanted to clarify that discards have a higher percentage of males and immature females than landings, which tend to target mature females. So I think that's what you're trying to say, but it could have sounded like it's all males, and it's just that there's more males and immature females in discards than in that. Thanks.
Ted Platts.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the presentation, Jason. So, Mr. Pentney, I'm trying to clarify the agency's concern. The 105%, it sounds like the concern is of a cumulative effect. I'm thinking, and tell me where I differentiate from your thinking, but it seems like if you're going up to 105%, that's of a fully healthy biomass that's at or above target, that's really the damage isn't, there's not a lot of damage there. In fact, there may be none in terms of target biomass. And given, I'm looking at this as we're managing this in 2-year specs, which Terry told me, or affirmed, there's really no cumulative capacity as I see it, because if you go over in 26, you're going to get that data in early 27, and by the end of 27, you're going to be able to make a correction for 28. So that's my thinking. I mean, I tend to be conservation-minded, but I'm concerned that maybe we're getting a little too confident in our numbers and over-managing. And that's my concern. And I like the idea of if we're at target biomass, there shouldn't be a payback, because one component of fisheries management is producing economic stability for the industry and the processors. And so I'm mindful of that and thinking, since it's only, the specs are managed every 2 years, there really isn't a capacity for a cumulative effect here. And so for that reason, I tend to see it a little bit differently, although instinctively I would otherwise tend to agree with the position.
Mr. Pitney?
Yeah, I mean, I just note that the proposal for a 5% buffer to basically allow 105% of the quota to be landed is proposed anytime the stock is greater than half BMSY. So not when it's only when it's at its target, but basically unless it's overfished, there would be we'd be setting the quota at 105. Basically be only closing the fishery if it reached 105% of the quota in any year that the stock is not actually overfished. And again, if we know that overage is going to be paid back, then I think, you know, there's an argument to be made for ensuring that all states in the northern region have access to their quota allocation in a year. But to basically just say, we're going to go through the specs process that we just went through, determine that 9.2 million pounds is the most appropriate quota for 2026, but we're going to let everybody land 9.6 million pounds without any impact. So then why not just set the quota at 9.6? If there's a rationale to set the quota at 9.6, then set it at 9.6. But saying that we have to set it at 9.2, but we're not going to do anything until they hit 9.6, just seems to fly in the face of the scientific information that we're basing the specs on.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Didden. Just to clarify, dogfish are typically a four-year specification cycle, correct?
It's varied a bit in recent years.
Yes, it has. I think partly because there were some errors in the way the projections were done, and so they needed to be updated. But this is not something that we typically manage on a two-year cycle, is kind of the point I'm trying to make. I don't anticipate having this discussion again either next year or, 2 years from now.
Yeah, and I don't think an error in the projection methodology or execution, but just the discard estimates were updated. There may have been a small error in the discard estimates. Since the councils would be setting for 26 and 27, they would have to revisit in 27 for 27 and beyond. But I think that it would be, I would expect the councils to be setting between 3 and 5 year specifications after that.
Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, I just want to clarify with when the 105% buffer and the seasonality of, so there's a regional quota that applies to the northern states and then state by state for the southern, and it's the northern fishery that goes first. So this is really about making sure the southern states don't get penalized. And I think Mr. Beal or wants to comment on, I think there's additional benefits of the 105% tolerance in terms of the interaction of the federal and ASMSC quota, because that's not always aligned.
Before we go to Mr. Beal, Attorney McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to add one other item to the discussion that comes along with accountability measures. I appreciate the consideration of the biological effects of potential overages, but The national standard guidelines refer to two primary objectives of accountability measures. One is potentially correcting for the any adverse biological effect, but another component of AMs is to, as soon as possible, to correct the operational issue that causes overages of ACLs. So that's another issue that potentially the combination of those sets may allow for repeated overages that don't correct the operational problem that's causing them.
Thank you. We'll come back to Bob Beal.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just to back up a little bit and make sure everybody's on the same page with where the ASMFC plan is. The ASMFC plan takes the overall quota for the coast and divides it into a northern region, which is the states from, actually the states that sit on this council, Maine through Connecticut. And then the states south of that, New York through North Carolina, each get individual state quotas that are managed by the individual states. So there's a northern region, and then the Mid-Atlantic are all individual states. In addition to that allocation, there's also a provision in the ASMFC plan that allows a state, if they have an underage, either a state or the northern region, to roll over up to 5% of the original quota for that year. So that, I think that may be where Melanie's going, in that, you know, there is this provision. If there's an underage, you can roll over 5% to the next year, and then, you know, you'd have a little bit higher quota. It's seldom, or it hasn't been used that often in the ASMFC plan. Most states are, you know, either fishing up to their quota or transferring quota to other states and not having a lot of leftover quota. But I think it would be very unlikely that all the states would have ability to roll over 5% to equal the full 105% quota. You know, there may be a couple that are under and are able to roll over a bit, but I don't see the northern region and all the six southern states or Mid-Atlantic states being in a position where they're all under and they're all able to roll over the 5% to equal 105%, if that makes sense. So it is a unique provision in the ASMFC plan.
A lot more to chew on. I'll go to Ms. Ware.
Thanks for the second bite at the apple here. So I'm trying to understand now the interaction between alternative set 2, and I think it's alternative set 4, which is the 3-year average. If this council chooses to choose differently on alternative set 2, so landings, paybacks would always occur. I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about if that impacts or undermines the ability for a 3-year average, because you may have some years where the overage is due to discard, some years where it's due to landings, and those would be treated differently, potentially.
Mr. Pentney?
I mean, Jason can speak for the council, but the way that we've been thinking about this is similar to how it's set up in, like, say, black sea bass is a good example. It's probably the best example, where any overage of the landings against the commercial landings quota is, you take 100% of that and pay it back the following year. If you've exceeded the ACL due to other things, discards as well, you know, as well, then that's when you would apply a 3-year moving average against the 3-year moving average of the ACL, and you would apply the scaling to determine whether an additional overage or adjustment is needed to account for the non-landings overage that would have come from discards. And it's, you know, it creates some complicated regs based on the status and the scaling, but it's, you know, it's how we handle the situation in a fishery like black sea bass, where you have both commercial landings and discards that are potentially going to contribute to an ACL overage.
Ted Platts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think most of my comments have been addressed by Mr. Beal, and Melanie, thanks for the clarification on the South. I thought I was losing my mind there. Yeah, so in a 2-year cycle, I'm kind of comfortable with this, but obviously we are looking at getting into longer cycles. So I think Mr. Pentney's points are very valid. So if the regional office is not comfortable with both of these, I'll just say that I would personally prefer to see us drop the 105 option and keep the other half of the equation, which sounds like it would fly with the IR, the RA, if I'm correct. Thank you.
Seeing no more questions, I believe there's a number of motions here, and I think we're going to take the sets one at a time, and we're actually not going to go in the order that they were presented. I think we might skip around a little, so I'll go to Ms. Griffin first.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I thought maybe we would start with the less controversial ones, and so leave set 2 and 5 for the end. And these are all committee motions. So I'm going to start with alternative set 1. And I, on behalf of the committee, I would move to select as a preferred alternative in alternative set 1, considers whether ACL payback should depend on biomass level, alternative 1B, middle cautionary modified payback scaling. This is consistent with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's recommendation. Chair, can I just provide the additional rationale since it's a committee?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it changes. So obviously it's changing the status quo approach, enacting a tiered approach. And I think just in general, the rationale for this and the other AM alternative sets is this idea, as Jason noted, smoothing out the annual variability in catch estimates to reduce the likelihood of overages, you know, from short-term fluctuations and or imprecise estimates, and to better align the accountability measures with stock status, and to Mr. Platt's point, you know, hopefully reduce unnecessary economic impacts when the stock is healthy.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Does not need a second. Discussion on the motion before the table. Questions, comments? Jeff Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Quick question, Melanie. So this just says we are going to address accountability measures and paybacks differently depending on the biomass. It doesn't say how we're actually going to do it. It just says we're going to take into account the biomass of the stock, not we're going to give it a free pass if it's over the rebuilding target. Correct?
Ms. Griffin?
Well, I'd probably have Jason answer this, but I believe 1B, are you asking about what the specific tiers are? Or
I'm asking if this is just saying we are going to take into account the biomass status of the stock when we are contemplating what to do with accountability measures and paybacks, generally speaking, but not specifically what's in some of the other alternative sets.
Right. Like in terms of we've talked about averaging and all that, those are all separate decision.
Jason?
Yeah, but this is 1B here, which is a sliding scale for no paybacks at 100% and full paybacks at 75% of the target. So this has that formula baked into it.
Any other questions, comments on the motion? To the council? To the public? Here or online? Back to the council. We'll do a show of hands. For those in favor of the motion on the board, please raise your hand. That includes you, Mr. Aristad.
Jeff, are you up or down? Okay.
Yeah.
Keep it down.
For those that are opposed to the motion, please raise your hands. Any abstentions?
That doesn't add up. No. Could you ask again? Those in favor, put them up high and keep them up.
Yep. Those in favor again, please.
Don't care.
I might have missed
in favor, up high, keep them up.
One.
Only two, one.
Three. 13, 14.
Peter Ayers. Okay. 14, 17.
The motion passes 14-2-1. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you. So as I noted, I'm going to jump over alternative set 2 for now to go to alternative set 3, which is about whether or not the rebuilding, whether or not a stock is in rebuilding and whether the relaxation would apply. So on behalf of the committee, I would move to select as a preferred alternative in alternative set 3, considers whether relaxation of ACL payback should depend on if stock is in a rebuilding plan or not. Alternative 3A, always pay back ACL overages fully if stock is in a rebuilding plan. Again, this is consistent with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's recommendation.
Does not need a second. Questions, comments to the motion on the board from the council? Seeing none to the public in the room or online? Seeing none, back to the council. On a show of hands, everyone raise their hand, keep them up high till I tell you to put them down. The motion passes 17-0-0. Ms. Griffin.
All right, so moving on to alternative set 4. On behalf of the committee, I would move to select as the preferred alternative in alternative set 4, considers whether ACL payback should depend on 1 year or an average of years. Alternative 4B, calculate paybacks based on average ACLs and average catches, and if paybacks are scaled based on biomass, use the most recent projected biomass. Again, this is consistent with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's recommendation.
Once again, questions, comments from the council? Seeing none, any from the public here in the room or online? Seeing none, back to the council. We're getting better on this. Show of hands for everyone for yes on the motion on the board. Any no's? Abstention? The motion passes 16-0-1. Ms. Griffin.
All right, so now we're going to get into the two sets that interact and are causing some concern. I'm going to start with alternative set 5. And I'm going to move on behalf of the committee to select as a preferred alternative in alternative set 5, considers whether specifications should be modified to allow for a closure buffer of federal waters, the EEZ, at up to 105% of the landings quota. Alternative 5A, clarify that specifications can set closures of federal waters, the EEZ, at up to 105% of the landings quota when biomass is projected to be greater than 50% of the biomass target in the relevant fishing year, and set to 105% for 2026-2027 specifications. This is consistent with the MID's recommendation.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Questions, comments on the motion on the board? Mr. Pentney.
So, yeah, so I think just, you know, trying to recap the earlier discussion, I think this is the one where if this motion is defeated, and then ultimately the Mid-Atlantic Council adopts, you know, revises its recommendation, so we remove the 5% buffer. You know, my feeling is the rest of the package, using the three-year average, using the scaling, not addressing landings overages unless there is also a total ACL overage, that full package is approvable. That's my preliminary, you know, assessment, thinking about this. If this motion passes, consistent with what the Mid-Atlantic Council did, that's when I think we have some significant concerns about the approvability of the package, which would depend then on the next motion, which will be whether landings are treated differently than non-landings. And so, I've asked this question, which of these is more important to the council and to the fishery? Is it having the 5% buffer as a contingency, or is it treating landings and discards the same? And if it's the 5% buffer contingency is not that important, then I would urge the council to vote this motion down, and then put together a package that is, more likely to be approvable. And then we can take that to the Mid-Atlantic Council in 2 weeks and urge them to adopt something, to the same outcome.
Thank you, Mr. Pitney. Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, I actually have a different take on this. I know Mr. Platts expressed the commercial landings being forgivable as his preferred option. Right now, I look at this and see the 105% in terms of the interaction of the ASMSC and federal quota and the assurance for the different states and regions to have equitable access, and meet national standard four. So right now, pending further council discussion, I'm more inclined to support the 105%.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Bob Beal.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quickly, I'm not speaking in favor or in opposition to the motion. Just when I was speaking earlier, there was one detail I left out. The 5% potential rollover that states or northern region can avail themselves of is only available if the stock is at or above the biomass target. So it's not if the stock's in rebuilding or in another state, the states or northern region cannot roll over 5%. It's got to be above that target.
Thank you for that. Ms. Ware.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe leaning towards voting this down and keeping the alternative two set. And I say that for two reasons. One, I'm a little concerned about how complicated this gets with a three-year average counting landings and discards differently. I think this is already complicated, and adding that enhances that. And then I'm thinking of other FMPs we have, like herring, where I'm pretty sure when we have rollovers, we don't increase the ACL. So this would be in line with that. So I see a little bit of a precedent for not going to the 105. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Ware. Terry Alexander?
Yeah, so my take is, shouldn't we be handling the second part of this to make sure that first, before we handle the actual 105, 100%, shouldn't we figure out whether or not we're going to count the other fish differently first and then come back to the 105 and make the decision based on that discussion?
Thank you for that. I think there was no design on which one we wanted to go first. I think Ms. Griffin brought this one up first just because it was on her list first. I mean, if you would like to take that approach, you can make a motion to table and we can bring the next one up after.
Yeah, I guess, in my talking just now, I'm trying to lay out if we are going to take a different approach from the mid and be responsive to the regional administrator's concerns. You know, we've heard from around that. I'd like to hear from the council what they'd like to do. And so, I mean, I guess we could table this, bring up the other one, but we could also have that discussion right now as part of this motion, right? That's my intent, is that we're getting at,
okay,
if we're going to approve one over the other, what's your preference?
Back to you, Terry.
Yeah, so if we're going to do that, then I need to clarify something. So we treat males and females different in discards, Jason? Is that right? So we would be accounting for them differently in discards? Or how would we treat discards differently? Because a pound of fish is a pound of fish to me. But
yeah, for ACL accounting, they're not treated differently.
Okay.
Jeff Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And if I could, question of the IRA on this. So, Mike, you've indicated that if we vote this one down and vote the other one up, you do not anticipate approvability issues with it if we follow that approach. If we were to do the reverse, is it still the same from your perspective from a approvability issue?
Mr. Pentney?
if by reverse you mean adopt this motion for the 5% buffer, but then on the following motion vote for treating landings and non-landing ACL overages differently? Yes, then that package would be likely approvable. But that's, and I think you can see why when we took these individually sort of stepwise without thinking about the full interaction, it got complicated.
Further discussion from the council? Seeing none, any questions from the public on this one? Online? Back to the council. Okay, so just to be clear, I think Mr. Pentney said it, and just to be clear, you know, I think what the agency is looking for, a yes on this one or yes on the next one. We can't do yes on both. I think we could do no on both.
We can, but
yeah. They're not. Yeah. We can. They wouldn't approve prove it. If we vote yes on this one, obviously the next motion coming up related to set two,
yes,
we would have to modify that one because what is already passed from the committee, what's already passed from the Mid-Atlantic Council would have to be changed. So if that makes it more clear or not, any more questions to the council? I will call the Mr. Lucy.
Just for clarification, the extra 5% has not been used recently. The last time was maybe 10 years ago. Is that what you were talking about?
Mr. Pentney?
So I think, yeah, there's never been a 5% buffer yet, but we've never reached the 100% in the recent memory. So we've never even got to 100% to need a 5% buffer in recent memory.
So, on a show of hands, hope we all know what we're voting for here. To the motion on the board, for those in favor of the motion on board, please raise your hand till I tell you to put them down. One. You may put your hand down. For those that are opposed to the motion on the board. The motion fails 1-16. Ms. Griffin.
Sorry, just wanted to clarify whether I needed to offer up a status quo motion on that. All right, so moving on to alternative set two. On behalf of the committee, I would move to select as a preferred alternative in alternative set two, considers whether ACL paybacks should depend on the source catch type of the overage, no action, status quo. This is consistent with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's recommendation.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. So this is to the committee, to the council. I think we may understand where we're voting on here now. I don't think we need to change this one. So any questions, comments from the council on the motion on the board? Seeing none, any from the public? Here or online? Back to the council. On a show of hands, we're doing really good at this now. For those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. The motion passes unanimous. Can you take a poll?
All right. So we do want to be dispositive on what we're doing for alternative set five. So I'm going to, on the fly, make a motion for no action in alternative set five. And this will need a second.
Mr. Pentney is seconding. Rationale, Melanie?
Well, we rejected the other alternatives. So.
Sounds good. To the question on the board, to the council. Public, here in the room, online, back to the council. Show of hands. Show of hands for those that approved the motion on the board. The motion passes 17-0-0. Thank you. Any more, Ms. Griffin?
One more, and that is to, I would move to submit the Spiny Dogfish Framework to NOAA Fisheries.
Can I get a second? Terry Alexander. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? No opposition, one abstention from the regional administrator. This motion passes. Anything else, Ms. Griffin?
No.
I believe that wraps up Dogfish. A few minutes passed. Mr. Didden?
So, yes, if the Mid-Atlantic Council adopts a similar thing, then it would be submitted. If not, then we'll spin up the committee or something.
See you again in January.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad we all got our arm exercises in today. Maybe we'll get a few more of those in tomorrow. Thank you very much. We will close out today's session. We will be having happy hour meet and greet in the bar right around the corner, saltwater something, whatever, but you pass it as you go back to your rooms. Thank you, and we will be back at 9 o'clock.